Hello, and welcome back to the Self-Healer Soundboard. This week, we are diving back into our workbook episodes for how to meet yourself. Now, we are on section 3 of the workbook, Meeting Our Emotional Self. So if you do have the workbook, How to Meet Yourself, we are on page 134 for today's episode, Meet Your Emotions. And if you do not have the workbook, you can always purchase your own copy at howtomeetyourself.com, or you can listen along to these episodes, take notes, read the comments. We are intentionally pulling the pages from this book and turning them into podcast episodes so that we can get the tools and practices in here really out to you in the world, in your own lives, and in your own conversations.
To begin a discussion about meeting our emotions, it'll be helpful for us to understand what emotions are. As always, really simply, emotions are actually evolutionary signals. They're our main way of interacting with the environment around us. And as you've often heard Jen and I speak, our body is always energetically sensing the environments that we're walking into, that we're experiencing, mainly to answer one specific question. And that one question is, are we safe? Is there something unsafe that is happening? And a second then question that our emotions help us to answer is, are our needs being met? Because the more consistent time goes on without those needs being met, the more then we find ourselves unsafe in whatever that experience is. So to really simplify it, emotions are our body's interface between us and the environment around us. And here now is important to make a distinction between the emotions that are happening in our body and the feelings, because many of us use those terms or experience these things interchangeably. And again, really simply, the feelings that many of us experience on any given day are our mind's conscious interpretation of those sensations happening in our body as those sensations are interacting with the meanings or the interpretations. And this is where our conditioning now begins to play a role in our emotional experiences. So it's kind of like the filter of our mind is sensing changes in our sensory experience in our body. It's feeling the shifts in our heart rate. It's feeling the shifts in our breathing pattern, sensing those different hormones that are happening. And then it's also referencing those age-old meanings or interpretations, the way that many of us have learned to make sense of those particular sensations. And now we open up to the very expansive, complicated, complex world of our feelings as humans. There are many different feelings we can experience or interact with daily, though again, our feelings are the interaction between our body and our mind, is the simplest way to think about it.
It really helped me to understand where the word emotion is derived from, actually meaning energy in motion. And that energy in motion or emotion is what's happening in the body. And as you were talking, I just had an image in my mind of a conveyor belt. Imagine being in a factory and a conveyor belt, packages coming down, that conveyor belt and the package being the experience that happens. Whatever happens, that's the physical experience. That's our body, the emotion. It goes down the line, whatever that experience is, it gets stamped on top of it. The narrative that our mind has created, which is the interpretation of the experience. So the box or package, the experience of our body going down this conveyor belt, it gets to the end, it gets stamped, and then it's finalized. That stamp is that mind's feeling. It's that word, I feel hurt, I feel angry. The word is the articulation of the physiological experience that's happening in the body. That's that emotion. So, and it's totally fine if we are using them interchangeable in conversation. We'll often say, you know, I have emotions and feelings, and the context is understood. We get that we are describing some sort of experience that we're having that is emotional, and we articulate it out in the world through the name of a feeling. So we're just laying a little bedrock here to help you begin to separate and have some space between the physiological experience that's happening, the actual sensations in your body, and then what the mind stamps that physical sensation to mean. So to make this a little bit easier in the workbook, and I'll read this aloud for you for anyone who doesn't have this workbook in front of them. And if you do, it's page 134. So we have a bit of a structure, and you can think of this in three layers or like a sandwich. The top one, what's going on around you? So the experience, this is your sensory experience of your environment. So just think the experience I'm in, what's happening around me? That experience plus what's happening in your body or the emotion or body sensations, this inner sensing, what's the sensation in your body? Maybe it's increased heart rate. Maybe it's sweaty palms, maybe a flushed face. It's a physical sensation. So the experience around you that's happening plus the internal sensation that's happening plus how your subconscious mind is making sense of what's happening. A simpler way of saying that, your mind's interpretation. Those three things all equal what the feeling is. So the first layer of this sandwich is the experience that I'm in, whatever's happening around me, that plus the sensation in my body, and then the stamp, the word that my mind decided to give and articulate that sensation is what equals the feeling I'm describing. So a real life example of this, what's going on around you? I hear my partner yelling loudly. That's all that's happening. I hear my partner yelling. What's happening in my body when that happens? So that's the experience. Now, what's happening in my body when I hear my partner yelling? I startle and I sense my heart rate start to increase. The experience is just that I hear yelling. The physical response, the sensations in my body is that my heart rate's starting to go up. I can feel my body temperature start to rise. How my subconscious mind is making sense of that, the partner yelling, the increased heart rate, my mind's interpretation of that is that my partner must be upset because they're yelling. What I'm feeling is a fear. That physical sensation, that increased heart rate, that ignition or reaction to them yelling, my mind is now articulating as fear.
This example is so helpful, and it's actually bringing to mind several months ago now, we explored a topic having to do with emotions in self-healer circle. And during the virtual Q&A during that month, I presented a similar example to really illustrate not only the distinction between the emotion in our body and the feeling, but also the impact of these interpretations or the subconscious mind portion of the sandwich, if you will, and how that really does color the then feeling experience that we'll have and our mind will then articulate. So the example I gave in the self-healer circle was a partner entering the room quickly and loudly, right? Very objective, like you were just describing event. Again, in my body, I startle, my heart rate increases, maybe my jaw and my shoulder tense. Again, all objective shifts in sensations related to this loud yelling or this loud entry of the room. Now, this is where, again, we can become very individualized in how we'll experience that same event or where simply two people could be in that room with the partner yelling or barging in and have two different experiences. Now, if, say, in childhood, right, there was a lot of yelling where yelling was associated with anger or a lack of safety, or we had a parent who maybe always barged into our room yelling at us, then that interpretation of that same shifts in my body, right, might be some version of, oh, this person's upset. Maybe even more so, this person is upset with me. They're yelling, they're barging, this loud noise is indicating an upset at myself. So then of course I'm going to feel fearful in that moment. Though same example, different person who in childhood there wasn't yelling in the home. Yelling didn't get associated with a lack of safety. There was boundaries. There was no one barging into rooms. That same shift in sensation might not be interpreted by that person's subconscious mind as fear. It might actually be run through the filter of excitement, right? Here's my partner coming into the room. Maybe they're yelling at an excitable level because something exciting happened in their life. Same objective experience per se, but filtered through different subconscious interpretations result in completely different feelings and chances are completely then different reactions on the other side of it.
It's helpful to remember here that as children, we are in a developmental state of egocentrism where the world quite literally is happening because of us. There is a direct attachment. So a partner yelling, or as a child, it would be mom and dad or the parent figure or caregiver yelling, is yelling in upset because we've done something. It automatically is because of us. And that's when that filter, or as I like to view it, a pair of sunglasses through which we see the world, that's when that filter was formed, or that pair of sunglasses was put on in those consistent moments in childhood where experience happened, X happened, our mind made it mean X. In that meaning making that our mind was doing, there was a physical response within our body. So I really appreciate you highlighting how it will be a uniquely different experience for every individual, even though we're talking about the same core emotions. And this called to mind as you were describing a memory from my own childhood that I only recalled maybe in the last 5 years. It had been very blocked to me. And joy and excitement, that emotion, that happiness, or that sort of thrill, like butterflies in your stomach, was there for me. And that feeling was a very shamed thing for me. And it came from an actual moment in childhood where I got off the bus. I remember my mom was at the bus stop and we were in a long custody battle. My parents were in a long custody battle at this point. My father had no longer lived there. Our house was in jeopardy. I knew that we didn't have money for it. And I was aware of all of this, probably only 6 or 7, but I knew it was possible that we were losing our house and that we were hoping to have our house. So I thought nothing of that as a child other than that's reality. I got off the school bus at the bus stop in front of my whole neighborhood, and I ran into my mom's arms. I jumped into her arms and I said, "Mommy, Mommy, do we get to keep the house?" And my mother, who is in a custody battle, working multiple jobs as a single mom with 3 children, not having money to even afford shelter for her kids in her house, is already depleted, has no resources, immediately took me off her, put me down on the ground very sternly. And my mother is not someone who ever snapped at me, spoke to me that way. I don't have much memory of interaction with her, though the depth in her voice and the disappointment and the anger and the upset and shaming of how could you? How could you say that in front of everyone? How could you embarrass us in this way? She was so ashamed. And I saw her heartbreak in that moment. And I immediately attached that feeling, that physiological sensation of excitement that was happening and jumping into her arms, that joy and that glee, now with shame and with a fear. And that was so suppressed that it took, you know, 5, 6 years of healing for that even to connect for me. And a light bulb went off a few years ago. And I thought, wow, I have all of my life really struggled to embody joy or to outwardly express joy without feeling a shame or without feeling a guilt. So that's an example of the conveyor belt, the package that goes down. The experience was jumping into my mom's arms in that state, feeling the sensations, the butterflies in my belly, her immediately putting me down on the ground and attaching shame to it. So my mind then attached that joy and excitement is now shameful. Those emotions and sensations now have a story stamped and interpreted on them by my mind.
I really, really appreciate you sharing that example, Jenna, because I think it is a beautiful illustration of how our conditioning, right? All of these beliefs, whether or not they're spoken directly in the moment, like your mom did in that particular experience or instance for you, or the many of us who maybe it wasn't as direct, or the many moments where it wasn't as direct and it was more indirect, where we just get that feeling, right? And all of this then gets packaged on the conveyor belt as our stamp in terms of that filter that then we'll carry with us and continue to use on any future similar experience. And so when we kind of remove the mind from this experience and again go back into the emotional experience or the physiological experience of our physical body, the reality of it is emotions, you know, as a physiological experience or event, if you will, last about, I think the research kind of comes in around 90 seconds. And meaning when our heart rate shifts, when our breathing pattern shifts, when our muscular tension shifts, when our body releases hormones and neurotransmitters, our body actually desires, it wants to go back to that homeostasis, or really simply its baseline. It wants an elevated heart rate to come down into its normal kind of heart rate, similar with breath. It wants to metabolize any of those physiological hormones or the neurotransmitters that have been released. So in terms of physiology, again, all of these sensations and shifts and changes in neurotransmitters happen to deal with whatever is we're experiencing outside of us, with our body's desire remaining to go back into baseline, to go back into that calm, grounded state as if that event didn't happen. Though, of course, the large majority of us, and imagine many of you listening, and I know for myself, that is not our current experience with our emotions, because they don't just remain as physiological events. They get filtered in our mind. Many of us ruminate or continue to think about the event that caused the upset in us, continuing to keep that physiology alive. Though again, really simply, it lasts a brief amount of time, and our body is always wanting to find its way back to balance. It is our mind, really simply our conditioning more often than not, that gets in the way of us returning to that balance.
It wants that consistency. Our mind wants to know that it can expect that rumination. It can expect the sabotage. It can expect whatever feeling is there. So while there is a 90-second rule of emotions, I think it's helpful to keep in mind that when you have that thought playing and there's, you know, an emotion there for 90 seconds, you have the thought again, the 90 seconds is back. So for many of us, it's just a continuous 90 seconds that is in a cycle without a pause, which is why we're deciphering between emotion and feeling and even having these conversations, so that you can begin to create this space between the emotion, the sensation, the name that you're giving it, the feeling that it is, and then you over here, the actual being that is having the sensation, that is having the experience, that's having the thought, that's then sending the body back on this same physiological loop. There's a being that's going through this whole experience. So the work here is really just pulling back and being the rooted essence, or being that is you, witnessing these very human experiences that we're all going through, or this very human process that we're all going through, which includes this whole array of emotions, not just one, not just some. If we cut ourselves off from feeling emotion or having this sensation, say we cut ourselves off from feeling grief or pain, and rightfully so, it's painful to feel pain. It's heart aching to feel grief. It actually feels like your cells inside are being squeezed and broken down. Who would want to feel that? When we choose to turn that off or to numb that and not feel it, we also turn ourselves off from love, from joy, from gratitude, from all of these healing emotional states that actually do create an emotional harmony. They change the rhythm of our heart. They create a coherence and a harmonious energy that then emanates from ourselves internally outward into the world. So I really appreciate that we're just giving emotions grace and this stage here, so that we can really also turn the volume down on the shame of different feelings of them and realize to actually be whole and to be connecting with ourselves and other humans, we have to allow ourselves to feel and embrace the entire array of emotions.
I love, so beautifully put. And not only do, you know, our emotional worlds really color, give us the experience of being human, of connecting to other humans, the other important thing that we cut ourselves off from, if we're not paying attention to those inner sensings or those inner sensations, are the evolutionary messages that we talked about when we introduced what emotions were. So when we think about emotions again, removing the conversation from feelings and all of that complexity, and really now talking about the six foundational emotions, again, those evolutionary messengers, those emotions being, if you want to take a look at page 137. And or if you do not have the workbook, maybe grab a pen and a pencil, hit pause. We're going to go through the 6 core emotions and the evolutionary message that each send. So core emotions being anger, sadness, fear, joy or happiness, disgust, and surprise. So each one, again, containing a message. So anger, what does anger tell us? When we're feeling angry, it usually is an indication that there is a boundary violation. We're feeling unsafe. Someone's coming into our physical space. We're feeling emotionally unsafe, or we're having a need unmet. When our needs are unmet, we feel upset. We feel agitated. We feel angry. Sadness. Sadness' main message is a loss. Something that we cared about or wanted to care about is no longer present for whatever reason. Again, sadness is a signal that there was care there. There was love. And on the other side of that, there's an experienced loss in particular. Fear, very common emotion. Many of us, I know I had the experience of for quite some time. Fear is an indicator that there is a threat to our safety. Again, might not be objectively present, though something is feeling unsafe. We might be using, again, one of those older filters, but that's the message it's sending. Something about what is happening is making me feel that there's an actual threat to my safety, physical or emotional. Joy or happiness, major messenger telling us that we're interested in something. There's pleasure there. We're feeling expansive, free, usually something we want to gravitate toward and have more of, joy or happiness. Disgust. Disgust usually signals an aversion to something offensive. It could be something physically offensive, like when we taste something that we don't like. It could be something mentally, emotionally, spiritually offensive. So we'll feel that feeling or that emotion of disgust in those moments. And finally, surprise. Surprise is emotion that arises when we experience an unexpected event or when an expectation that we've been holding has been violated. We feel surprised.
While these are acknowledged as the 6 core emotions that we all experience universally, we're all going to have a unique interpretation of them. So what I experience in my body as anger might not be the same physical experience as of anger that my partner experiences. So this is really an opportunity for you to begin exploring your own physical experience of these core emotions. Now, we do this work often, identifying our emotions, our feelings, so that we can articulate it and be able to have a foundation in which to understand our own experience, to express our own experience. And often this comes up in the self-healer circle when we are talking about emotion or feelings, and everyone wants examples. Everyone wants all of the examples of what it's like to feel feeling X in the body. And while we do give some examples, there is a hesitance to not just give, because the point is in the discovery. And what I experience as a certain emotion and feeling may be different from what you experience. So we have a little exercise for you to practice and explore this on your own. That comes from page 139 in the workbook. And I'm going to read that off in just a moment. Though, to give you at least one example, one or two, for these core emotions, this comes right from the list on page 137. So the core emotion, anger. I notice my body begins to feel tense. My face gets hot. My teeth are clenched. Sadness. I notice my body's energy begin to feel heavy and low. My shoulders droop. I find it difficult to smile. Fear. I notice my body begins to shake. My heart rate increases. My breath quickens. This one is a great example that ties back to what I mentioned earlier, that experience with my mother around excitement. It shared the same sensations as fear. There was a shaking, an increased heart rate, that butterflies in my stomach, that quickened breath, all associated with fear. And in that moment for me came from an experience of excitement. Joy and happiness. I notice my body's energy begin to feel lighter, alive, active. I find it easier to smile. Disgust. I notice my stomach begins to clench or feel sickened. I feel like gagging. My nose begins to wrinkle. My face scrunches. Surprise. I notice my body's energy spike quickly and I become immediately alert. My heart rate quickens. My eyes and jaw open wider. Now, if you do have the workbook, right on the next page after those core emotions, you'll see a blank page that says your emotional exploration. And listed, it has anger, sadness, fear, joy, happiness, disgust, and surprise, all with a few blank lines under them. Now, this is a space for you to begin exploring your own physical response to these emotions. Now, we understand that it is not as easy to just hit pause in the moment of an emotional activation and do an emotional inquiry and tune in and explore our thoughts and our feelings. So it's helpful to do this emotional exploration outside of the moments in activation. And because of that, we've created a little visualization practice or a prompt of questions for you to ask yourself so that in a moment where you're in some stillness for yourself and can carve time out for yourself to be in silence, or maybe now while you're listening to this podcast and you hit pause, can do your own inquiry and visualize an experience or recall an experience that's already happened pertaining to each of these emotions and do a scan from there, from your visualization, what comes up in your body during that. Now, remember, when your mind is recalling an event or an experience, it knows no difference from being back in the past when it actually happened versus being here in the present moment. Your body is still responding physiologically. Those sensations are still responding to that experience as if it's here in the present. Because if your mind is having the thought here in the present, then that thought is a message that is being sent to our body and then looping back up. So they're never disconnected. When we recall something, we're also experiencing it here in the present, which can be very helpful for us to intentionally witness what's going on in our body. Where do we notice? What parts of our body do we notice different sensations when asking ourselves about these six different core emotions? So the questions to prompt yourself with here, these will be interchangeable for each of the core emotions. I'm just going to read them off here with anger, but that emotion is for you to sub in each of them and do your own exploration. So allowing your body to settle into the present moment, if you feel safe to do so, you can close your eyes, limit your external distractions, focusing on your internal world and sensations. So closing your eyes if you're safe to do so, tuning into the physical body, dropping down into the actual physical vessel. Begin to call to mind or imagine a scenario, event, or experience where you have or you can imagine feeling anger. Spend a few moments beginning to objectively explore the different sensations in your body as you're experiencing anger. Key word there, objectively. As you're feeling these sensations, you might notice a lot of thoughts pouring in, a lot of other things and distractions happening. Allow that to be. The objectivity is just being a neutral witness. We are calling to mind the experience of anger or imagining it or remembering it and just witnessing what's happening in our body, kind of like your own science experiment is how I like to view it. If you find your attention is getting distracted by thoughts about the event or about the emotion itself, maybe by judging yourself or trying to explain or argue away how you're feeling, just practice shifting your attention to your body and get curious about how it feels. Shift your attention to the actual physical body, this vessel that is. Now take a few moments to note any sensations that you notice associated with your emotional experience of anger. I was just thinking about sadness here and noticing just this morning, I was looking in the mirror to the side and I noticed how my shoulders are still a little drooped forward and I'm intentionally working on my posture and pulling my shoulders back. And there's a direct connection for me from that physical posture of my shoulders drooped forward that is in an act of protection and feeling small or feeling that sadness over time. So as we're talking about anger, and I think of that line on my face, I just remember being a kid and hearing adults say things like, you know, if you make that face, it'll get stuck that way. And it really struck me at some point in my 20s when I realized, oh my gosh, that's so literal. It really will. When you're experiencing an emotion or sensation, our body is physically responding. Many of us do change our posture in response to these emotions. We do have a scowl or a frown. And when we're unaware that we are stuck in that loop of that emotion over time and our physical body is responding, it does quite literally get stuck that way. Just like our mind got conditioned to believe or form a belief, our body is also responding and conditioning itself to stay in the same physical response and same physical presence that we have learned from those earliest emotions. So while I'm giggling now at the permanent line on my face from scowling, and I'm only 36, I share it to give an example of what it's actually like to scan your body and to become objective and just begin to notice the result of what has happened over time in a very primal response to our earliest experiences.
I appreciate you sharing your own observations, Jenna, and having very similar ones to you, noticing the hunch in my posture. You know, I think that, you know, anytime we can visually, you know, actually see ourselves, not only from the inner sensations, but taking a moment to look in the mirror, to notice, you know, looks on our face or expressions on our face, or again, even just the way our posture is, or we carry our bodies, again, resisting the urge to shame or judge what we're seeing, that can provide a lot of the same information to us. And the reason, again, why it is so important to do, you know, to take these moments to explore and to get curious and objectively learn how to be a neutral witness to all of these different sensations is because they're happening in our body and our mind is actually using them to interpret the events around us. So many of us have gotten very good because, to speak to the point you made earlier, these emotions are painful. Who wants to be in a body that's feeling as terrible, as overwhelmed as it is for many of us? And many of us learn to create safety for ourselves by disconnecting from the body, by living on a spaceship, as I spent many decades of my life doing. Why? Because what was happening in my own physiology was too uncomfortable. It was too overwhelming. So granting ourselves grace and compassion and patience as we're beginning this exploration is so incredibly important, and expecting that it will feel uncomfortable. It's not going to immediately feel the relief that I think so many of us are anticipating. And again, why are we creating the space for this exploration? Because our mind is using those sensations, even if we're not paying attention to that reality. And creating then the ability to observe allows us to not only identify, okay, well, this is why, speaking from my own lived experience, why I can never actually feel at peace, or I can never feel safe. I could have read all of the affirmations in the world, could have learned about all of the different ways, right, that we can find peace. But if I didn't actually translate those steps into action, if my body didn't actually downshift from fear, the cycles of fear it was living in for so long, then those affirmations go right out the window, because behind the scenes, my body is affirming to my mind that no, it's actually not safe to be at peace right now. This is not a grounded moment for you. There is something threatening that is happening. So creating the space really allows us to then empower ourselves into a new relationship with these sensations. Just because we're really savvy at not paying attention to them doesn't mean that they are not happening. So to all of you out there who anything in terms of emotional worlds or feelings is a new space to venture into, if you didn't have support in your childhood to explore this emotional aspect of yourself, engaging in these practices, taking the moment to tune into the physical body, like Jenna, you just took us through that beautiful exploratory prompts to do so, it will likely feel uncomfortable right from the beginning. So granting yourself grace, granting yourself patience, taking the process slowly, not diving into the deep end of our emotional world, will help us again create that space so that we can begin to be the neutral observer of these sensations, again, that are creating the world around us.
As you continue showing up for these conversations and continue doing this work, remember that every moment of it is an opportunity in itself to be reparenting, to be that compassionate, loving, nurturing voice and being that many of us didn't get from our caregivers in childhood. So even these reflections about our emotions, when you're sitting in stillness with yourself and creating space to go through these explorations or inquiries, and even to listen to these podcasts, you may notice that you're opening windows and doors to deeper access to your own self and discovering emotions, or maybe even recalling memories that have been buried that you didn't before have access to. So in all that's coming up, in all that you are allowing yourself to feel, know that feeling it is also what's allowing you to actually heal it, and giving yourself that grace to be the loving, wise inner parent as these new and intense emotions or our mind's interpretation of them do arise. We would love to hear your personal experiences and stories. As always, the video of this podcast is captioned on our Self Healer Soundboard YouTube channel, and you can interact with each other there around the world in the comment section, and of course, anywhere else on social media that you like, tag, or share these conversations. We really appreciate it, and we'll continue to always do these podcasts ad-free. So your engagement really helps to circulate the conversation and expand these really into normalizing new global conversations in our collective healing journey. Thank you for being with us for this week's episode. We love you, and we'll see you next week.